everybody. How are we today? Hope you're well. My name is Kyle. If you've never met before, I'm our lead pastor here at Crossroads. So good to be with you today. Everything we're going to talk about today is about what's going on under the surface, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the stuff that no one sees, no one celebrates. But if you've ever led anything, a business, a church, a family, you know that the stuff that happens under the surface is what actually determines whether you win or whether you lose. We're going to look at many of the most important teachings of Jesus today. One of them was in that video that you just saw, coming from Matthew 6, verse 6. It said, "But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." In this moment, Jesus is talking about how to pray and what does it look like. And he goes into the Lord's Prayer that we sang that song about just a few minutes ago. And he says, when you do that, don't focus on the outer stuff, all the right words and the right posture and the right whatever. Instead, he says, God cares most about the unseen stuff. Now, that unseen stuff has a name. It's called infrastructure. It's if you peel back the walls of a building, it's the steel beams that you would see, it's the cabling, the inner workings of everything. And again, it's where our lives are won or lost. It's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for Crossroads. Back in the fall here at Crossroads, we went public with a vision, a big outward-facing vision. I said, we feel like God's calling us to pursue an awakening. Awakenings are these periods of time in history where not just a few people come into faith, but like an entire nation turns, an entire nation changes. And we said, man, what would it look like to press in that direction? And kind of said, it might look like us pursuing 10x growth as Crossroads over the next 10 years. We called it the 10x push. Many of us in this room, many of us watching online, we committed above and beyond our regular giving to support that vision for the next 3 years. And over the time since, it's been about 9 months since we launched the 10X push, we've been doing these monthly updates. And we've been doing them because right now turns out to be the most critical time of the journey. See, when stuff is big and it is above the surface and you can see the vision and you can see what's happening and you get swept into the possibilities, it's easy to say yes and it's easy to step forward. But it's when things go below the surface, when the hard inner work called faithfulness and fulfillment set in, that things get more difficult. And so we're doing these updates to encourage you and to encourage me. And we're going to do one of those again right now. I hope it's encouraging. To me, it is. It's just absolutely amazing. We've had more above ground wins than we could have ever anticipated so far in this 10X push. But what I'm actually more excited about is the unseen, under the surface, infrastructure level work that's happening across all of the projects. To give you a quick picture of what that is, we made this slide right here of a chart. You can see, where is it? Come on, slide. Yes! There it is, right in the middle there. So you can probably see exactly what's happening based on that chart, right? Pretty easy to read. No problems at all. Some of you in here are project managers, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. I love spreadsheets, oh my gosh. That's so good for you. You're like electricity to me. I don't understand how you work, but I'm so thankful for you and that you exist because you make our lives better. Now, this is the complicated version. Obviously, that's just to make a point. There's lots of things happening. Here's the simplified version of all of our work, all of our projects. You can sort everything we talked about in the 10X push into one of three buckets. And the three buckets have to do with when we believe the majority of that work will actually pop above the surface, be publicly visible, and big things happening. But what I'm excited to tell you is that there is below the surface work happening in every single one of these, which is incredible. Now, I'd love to highlight just a couple of these for you today. One of them is our prisons work. Prisons work. You've heard us talk about this. This is something that we've cared about for a long, long time. And what we did in this 10X push is we said, what if we could reach every prison in America? Now, that might sound crazy. How in the world would you do that? Well, it turns out that in our system, newly incarcerated persons receive one of these. This is a tablet. And the point of this tablet is to deliver content and experiences that help that person change. And we said, what would help someone change better than getting to know Jesus in a language they can understand? And so what if we leverage this thing that they already have to give them that message? And we were excited, and we said this not too long ago. We had reached a way to figured out how to get into 36 states already. Well, that launched 8 days ago. 8 days ago. Do you know what's happened in 8 days? A couple things have happened. I don't know if you find any of these encouraging or not. There's been 595,900 minutes of content viewed already. What? 148,975 views, 5,683 subscribers, 513 prayer requests submitted by people and prayed for by us. And this is the most amazing part. 233 incarcerated people have said yes to Jesus for the first time in their life. In the last 8 days. Amazing. Unbelievable. Now, all of that work, that's the above the surface stuff. All of that is built on a foundation of years and years of doing the hard work of figuring out how do you help serve people in prisons? What does that ministry look like? How do you make great digital content? How do you get your stuff into an app? How do apps work? All of that stuff sits on the below the surface work, and these above the surface wins happen. It's absolutely amazing. We also got some reviews from some of the incarcerated folks who've been watching the content. I find these very encouraging. Here's one from someone in New Mexico. They say, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior for the first time. Thank you for this content I can watch every day to stay focused. Amazing. This one is a person in Kansas. I've accepted Christ, and I wanted you all to know how much I love this Garage Bible Study. If you don't know, Brian, from time to time, releases episodes of what we call Garage Bible Study. It's literally just him in his garage working on stuff and then also talking about the Bible and how it kind of relates. He says, I'm a very big fan of vehicles, and this caught my attention, and I love the relation of vehicles and how it can relate to God's word. Thank you all, and God bless. And then there's this review. This is called the Unfiltered Review. Bible study in a garage, you got my attention, blank. This mother blanker is legit. Somebody in Florida said that. It's great. Making a difference, making a difference. I love that. If you're a Push contributor, I hope that encourages you. One other I'd love to highlight that's in the below the surface stage is our work with 1824. 1824 is not the newest spinoff of Yellowstone. If you thought that's what it is, sorry to disappoint you. Yet, that I know of. It's our ministry to folks in that age range of 18 to 24. Some of them are in college, some of them are out of college or working other jobs. That's our ministry for those folks. And as part of this push, we said we feel like God's calling us to go after this generation, to run after them in a way that we never have before in Cincinnati and in every city, eventually where we have a crossroads. And I'm so excited to tell you, one of the biggest pieces of the under the surface work was locating the right leader to drive it. Because you don't go far without the right person in the right spot pushing the vision forward. And we spent months and months and months on searching for the right person, praying for the right person who would answer the call, hear the call, and come and join us. And I'm so excited to tell you, that person is now on staff, on board, and I would love you to meet him. His name is Jordan McLernan. Come on, Jordan, come on up. Let's go. What's up, man? That's your beautiful family.
That is a good-looking family right
so
there.
Yes. You guys did not start in Ohio, Kentucky, where we kind of are at crossroads. You were farther away, yeah?
North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina.
All right.
Yeah.
So tell us, what was it about this call and this opportunity that grabbed you guys and made you go like, yeah, we're going to uproot our family, move, and come be a part of that thing?
Yeah, we saw some things that Crossroads was doing. We knew some people that were connected. We actually have a unique and long history with Crossroads that I don't have time to get into today, but that's really special to us. And when we heard about what God was doing through this ministry, through the 10X push, and through the opportunity, it was a no-brainer. And we just got to a point where we said, we would regret if we chose to not be a part of this, and it was going to be disobedience for us to say no, and so here we are.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, You've been on staff for like 4 days or something, right?
I mean, 2 months.
Two months. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got it all figured out. Everything's
totally.
Gonna. Yeah. No, of course not. You're doing the work right now to plan your ministry, get things going. I have a question from two different perspectives. That said, one, if I'm a volunteer and I hear this and I go, man, I feel like I want to help in this age range. This is the age range maybe where somebody met Jesus for the first time or wishes that they had. They'd love to jump in. What do you do? And then part two of that question is, what if I'm in that 18-24 range right now and I see this, I hear you, and I go, great, there's a ministry. How do I get involved?
Of course. Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of things are in the early building block stages right now, but this may connect with you. As I've stepped into this role, I've been thinking a lot about myself as an 18-year-old and myself as a 22-year-old. And it was a weird season of life for me. And I actually, as I've reflected on it, I've realized I made some of the biggest decisions of my life in the age range of 18 to 24. And I don't know if that's true for you, but what was true for me at that time was also, it was one of the hardest seasons of my life, primarily because I did not have a faith community that I was connected to belong to. I didn't have a mentor that was guiding me, and because of that, I didn't really have a mission to fight for. And so the opportunity that we now have as a church, which is amazing, is that we get to build something that I believe will impact thousands of college students and young adults and create a space that is a community for them to belong to, a mission to fight for, and you could be a mentor to a young person as you walk alongside them in faith. And so really the opportunity that we have right now is for mentors and people to say, I would be willing to lead a young person. And the best way to do that, we're building the systems now. I'm just going to put my email address
love
up
it.
Here.
Let's do it.
Because that's just the best way that I can connect with you right now. And I'd love to meet with you and share any information. If you're a student, a college age person, or a young adult in the room in the Cincinnati area, right now on Monday nights at the George, which is on the University of Cincinnati's campus, we have Monday night groups. They're happening right now and you can jump in. If you're at a city or a site that is not in Cincinnati, we got some things coming for you. They're on the way and more details to come.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hey, can we thank Jordan? Yeah. Incredible. Hey, I'd love to take the moment as a church to just pray over Jordan and bless him, his leaders in this ministry. So if you want to join in that, if you're part of Crossroads, you're part of the 10X push, just extend a hand out and we're going to pray for him together. God, thank you so much for Jordan. Thank you for him hearing your call and having the courage and the boldness and the strength to say yes to it. I'm asking that you would fill his ministry with fruit, God, that you would give him everything he needs to see more than he could ever possibly hope, imagine, or expect happen in this ministry. Would you work through him? Would you work through us to reach this generation for you? Amen. 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 Thanks, man. Thanks. Well, today, this message really is what's been most on my heart right now for not just our church, but for each and every one of us who are here. Maybe you've been part of Crossroads for a long time. Maybe it's your first time ever stepping foot into Crossroads. Either way, this is exactly the thing that's on my heart for you. So these 10X projects, these big plans, these big dreams that we have, maybe you have big plans, you have big dreams for your life. All of those things that we have dreamed up, they're all just amplifiers. Just amplifiers. And what they amplify is who we are. How we love God, how we love people, the wisdom that's in us, all that stuff. And if what steps up to the microphone when the stuff pops above the surface isn't conformed to Jesus, we have very little to offer the people who listen. And so my question for myself first and for all of us is, are we ready? And if we're not, how will we become ready? Become ready. You know, God shoved this idea to the top of my mind a few months ago. It was a Sunday morning, and when I'm not teaching here in Oakley, I attend the east side out in Eastgate, Cincinnati, out that direction. I was out there, and service had started, worship was happening, my family wasn't with me this morning, and so I was in the back against the wall, probably looking very strange. Because when I'm in a Crossroads by myself, I want to see it and experience it from every angle and make sure, does it look right from over here and how does it sound in this section? And so I'm against the back wall, kind of crouched like this. I'm just kind of looking around. Wow, how does that sound over there? How does that look? When the producer of the East Side, JD, stopped by, tapped me on the shoulder and goes, hey, the internet's down. We don't have a message to give. Do you want to teach? I was like, now? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay. And so I followed JD on stage, and this is what happened. Check this out.
You want me to get you a table? That mic should work.
Let's do that.
Great. I'll get you a table.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, I'll introduce him. If you don't know, and if you're new here, this is Kyle Ranson. He is our lead pastor here at Crossroads, who happens to live on the east side of Cincinnati and attend here when he's not preaching. So while today was not his message, you get a treat of getting Kyle Ranson live in the building today. We get to hear directly from Kyle what God is stirring in him as it relates to prayer. And I'm just buying him some time right now to talk with our technical people about what's going to happen next.
Oh my gosh, this is great. You guys, I woke up this morning to come to church, and I was sitting in the back. I was having a great time during worship. It was amazing. And then our producer, JD, came up, and he was like, do you want to preach a message right now? I was like, well, I mean, sure. Yeah, let's go for it.
You got it. We'll get you a table.
Here we go. All right. Hey, thanks, JD. This is JD, our producer, by the way. He's here every week, making everything awesome. You going to raise that up for me? Not too high. I'm kind of short, so relax, JD. Okay. This series that we're doing for a really particular reason. There are a lot of questions that people have about God, and a lot of them sort of are surface-level questions. And for a lot of folks, they never go deeper with God because they get stuck at the surface. And we know that there's a lot about the surface that's very, very appealing, and yet we also know that if you want a strengthened life, if you want a life that's resilient, if you want a life that can, like in the Crossroads app this morning, we're reading in Thessalonians, who are a people who were unusually joyful despite their circumstances. If you want that kind of life, you have to break past those surface-level questions and get to the deeper, meaningful ones underneath. That's what we're doing in this series. We're starting with prayer today. Oh my gosh, a water and a Bible. Thank you, Lena. This is a very tiny Bible. It's fitting, I suppose. That's great. We've got a video that we can play for you that says a little bit more, describes about the series, just a little, and a beer. We'll see how this goes. I've got water, coffee, beer. Okay. You'll know how it's going based on which one I pick up. Perfect. Fantastic.
Only at Crossroads they bring you a beer just in case. It was 9:15 in the morning. The most amazing part about that experience for me was that the whole time, everyone in the audience was holding a candle, and I had no idea why. Still don't. Sorry if you were there and you had the candle. I don't know. Afterwards, people sent me a lot of encouraging texts and emails and things saying, great job. My own sister-in-law sent me a text and she said, you know, I think that's the best message you've ever given. And I was kind of insulted because I usually prepare. I got a lot of thank yous. And what was interesting is that the tone of the thank yous made it sound like I had performed some kind of a magic trick. How did you do that? And to be clear, I didn't perform any kind of magic trick. What happened was that there was a moment in life when I was called into more and I happened to be ready. That's it. I was ready. And in your life, there's a moment coming your way that you'll either be ready for or you won't. Don't worry, it's unlikely to be you preaching in front of thousands of people impromptu. Just relax, not that. But there'll be another moment coming your way. Now, in my life, I've many times also been not ready when the moment came up. Many times in my ministry, many times in my marriage, many times as a dad, something has come up and I've not been ready for the moment. See, in our lives, we'll either be ready or we won't be ready. In these moments, they're not the ones that we plan. The moments that define our lives, the moments that shape us, these crossroads moments, if you will, are the ones that do not show up on our calendar. Instead, they blow up our calendar. Sometimes they're moments of possibility and opportunity, sometimes there are moments of pain. On the possibility side, sometimes you get a job offer or someone reaches out to you, hey, I've got this job and you might be the perfect person for it, or maybe it's a volunteer opportunity at Crossroads, or maybe you're single and it's the right person finally shows up, finally out of nowhere. Here at Crossroads, by the way, to the 10X stuff, there will be these moments coming, just to warn you. One of our big pushes is to be in 10 cities in 10 years. We said if there's going to be an awakening across our nation, we need the message of Jesus in a language you can understand in every city around that we can get to. And so we're going to new cities. And one of my hopes and my prayers is that when we go to our next city, when we announce where that is, that there will be dozens of people who are ready to say, send me, ready to say, I'll go help start that place. Moment will come. Will you be ready or will you not be ready? Now, being ready doesn't have anything to do with wanting to be ready. It's not about mindset. It's not about beliefs. Plenty of times I've seen people with the right beliefs. If you gave them a quiz, what's the Bible say about X? They would answer all the questions correctly, but when the weight of life came, they could not stand up and they collapsed. It's not about beliefs alone. Sometimes the moments that comes our way, they're not possibility focused. Sometimes they're more about the pain. Sometimes it's adversity brought on by our own decision-making. Maybe we made a poor choice. This is where Sarah and I find ourselves right now in our life. We've recently made a massive mistake. We got another puppy. And it was, don't say ah. Don't, no, not ah. That chew toy is my sanity. And he's shredding it every day. This is Rooster. He is cocky. Do not be fooled. Terrible decision. We read on the internet, we have one high energy dog, Annie, and we read that the way to get Annie to calm down was to get another high energy dog. Just like math says, negative times negative equals a positive. We have yet to see this play out in our house. It's just worse than it was. Don't get a puppy. Sometimes these moments that come our way, they're brought on by bad decisions. Sometimes the moments that come our way, sometimes the pain is not a decision that we made. It's something entirely outside of our control. Sometimes it's the diagnosis that we get. Sometimes it's the news we get when we get called into our boss's office and we're told that the company is laying off entire divisions, departments, and our job is no longer safe and we've been let go. These moments come our way. Will we be ready when they do? Again, it's not about the right beliefs. It's not about the mindset of wanting to be ready. See, but becoming ready comes down to one thing. Are we paying attention to and working on our inner world every single day? That's it. You and I don't know if you thought about it this way. We actually inhabit two worlds at the same time. There's an outer world and there's an inner world. The Bible describes it this way, 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Look at the two worlds right here. Outward appearance is the outer world. The heart is the inner world. And God says, you look at one of them and focus on it, and I look at the other and focus on it. Now, all of us, by default, we focus on the outward appearance, exactly like that verse says, the outer world, because everything is designed to get us to focus there. The outer world is things like the right GPA, the right job title, the office in the right spot, the right car, the right clothes, the right house, your kids in the right school, on the right club sports teams or whatever. It's all the outer stuff. And the idea of focusing on the outer stuff, the promise that we have is that an outer focus will deliver the inner results that we're after. So if we want the inner result of feeling confident, we believe we'll get there by focusing on the outer thing called the right job, the right car. If we want the inner thing called joy, we believe we'll get there by the outer focus called find the right vacation or the right new person to date or the inner thing of being successful. That'll happen if we get the outer focus of hitting the right numbers. And what God says is that'll never, ever, ever work. If you live your life focusing on the outer stuff, hoping it produces inner results, you will be very disappointed. That's a path to burnout, blow up, and break down. That's it. That's what the end of that road is. But what God says is he focuses on something different. When he thinks about whether you'll become ready or not, ready for more in your life when it comes your way, God says he focuses on the inner world, your thoughts, your character, your soul, your fears, your dreams, who you are becoming. God says if you'll have an inner focus, what you'll find is outer results in your life. The things that you want to be true, those will happen in powerful ways because of who you are. And to be clear, when I talk about God's viewpoint, I'm not talking about the religious ritual stuff. There's a version of the outer focus that wears religious clothes, and it can be kind of tricky to see. But it's the same as the outer focus of the world. Instead of GPAs in the right car and whatever, it's saying the right prayer in the right order with the right words the right number of times, stuff like that. Well, that is the same empty path. That'll only lead to judgmentalism, hypocrisy, and burnout. Do not follow that path. Jesus, his main opposition when he was on earth preaching, doing his ministry, were the Pharisees. And these were the outward religious-focused people. These were the ones who said, when you pray, do it with the right words in the right form where everybody can see you. We read that verse earlier where Jesus says, don't be like them. Don't be like the hypocrites. Instead, go into secret. And your Father who sees in secret, who sees your inner world, will reward you. Now, that section comes from what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It was kind of Jesus' coming out party, Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, if you want to read it. Many of his most famous teachings all come from the Sermon on the Mount. Tons of different stuff. But if you step back and you said, what's the theme across the Sermon on the Mount? What you would see is it's this idea of the inner world versus the outer world, the entire thing. And if you go all the way to the end of Jesus' ministry, the last week before he's crucified, you'll see him still talking about the inner world versus the outer world, still battling, by the way, the Pharisees. If you've never read the teachings of the last week of Jesus' life, you just should. They're just fantastic. Because Jesus is in like let it rip mode. He's in like, I got no more patience. You know, we're fresh out of nice right now. Come back later. Parents, this is you after your kids are, when they're up past bedtime. You're like, I just go to bed. Just go to bed. That's Jesus in these moments. You can kind of hear it coming through. Matthew 23, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate that the outside may also be clean. I wish my kids would take this as literal advice when washing the dishes. That would be great. They play sports, they take their water bottle for a week, it gets all nasty and gross. They take it to the sink and they do like a little spritz, spritz, clean. Put it down the drying rack. No, not clean. Smells like rotten eggs inside. You're gonna die if you drink out of it again. No, you gotta clean the inside. Jesus says this is us with our life. We think it's a little spritz on the outside, just a little bit better of something, maybe just a new outfit, I don't know. Maybe just something better on our resume, maybe just a new friend to make us feel. We think this is gonna fix the inside. He's like, no. The way the whole thing improves is if you go to the inside of the cup and you clean that first. If you want to win in your life, it will only happen by focusing on the things that your neighbors are unwilling to focus on, your inner world. Sadly, most people ignore their inner world and pay the price. See, the consequences of ignoring your inner world aren't just you miss out on the best stuff of life. It's that you're guaranteed a collapse. Might not happen today, might not happen tomorrow, but make no mistake, it is coming if you do not spend time on your inner world. One of the most impactful books I read early in my faith journey is this one right here. It's called Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. And I learned about this book when I came to a Summer Nights at Next Level, for anybody here who remembers that way back in the day. I was probably 20 years old or so, and what we used to do, Brian would invite in these guest speakers, people who had impacted him, and so he invited in Gordon MacDonald to kind of share a message with us, and he talked about this idea of ordering your private world, and it was mind-blowing to me, because at this moment in my life, I'm in college, and I did a good college. I had a good GPA. I was in a good fraternity. All the outer upper stuff I was focused on, get the right job and the right internship and all this stuff. And here's this old guy named Gordon who walks on stage and he goes, all that stuff you're focused on doesn't matter. I was like, what? Are you kidding? What? I was bothered. So I got the book and I read it and it helped change my life. I said, no. If you want to be the kind of person you're hoping to be, it will only happen if you focus on your inner world. Now in the book, McDonald talks about what he calls the sinkhole syndrome. Sinkhole syndrome, just picture the news headlines you've seen of a city street or maybe a neighborhood and everything is fine. But then all of a sudden overnight, a sinkhole opens up and there's this giant pit. You've seen these stories, you know, sinkhole opens, swallows car. And you're like, that's terrible. Is there a sinkhole in my yard? No one knows. I don't know. Who knows? These grab headlines because they're sudden and they're severe. But make no mistake, if you study the geology of a sinkhole, while the collapse itself is sudden, what got us to this point never is. The way a sinkhole develops is years and years and years of erosion. Water moves in from one side, guts underneath, grabs some of the soil, goes out the other way. Water takes the soil with it. That happens day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And eventually, under the surface, unseen, is a void. And at some point, the void becomes so big that it cannot support the surface. And so there's a sudden collapse. If you've ever seen somebody in your spheres who's had a sudden collapse in their life, you can hear it and go like, wow, where did that come from? What happened last night? Nothing happened last night. Nothing. What always happens is years and years and years of slow erosion, years and years and years of ignoring an inner world until there's a void and it cannot support the surface of even a normal life, and not much less one where the bigger moment comes your way. Somebody who wasn't ready, will you be ready? On the other hand, whenever you see somebody who's fruitful for decades, whenever you see somebody who you can trust with more, whenever you see somebody who's weathered the storms, you'll find somebody who has not paid attention to the outer stuff, who has not made that their focusing ambition, but instead has made their focusing ambition their inner world, becoming like Jesus. This is the secret to success at Crossroads. This is why I think God has blessed our church. And when you come in for the first time, it's hard to see that. Because what grabs your attention is all the visible stuff. What a big place and the free coffee and all the LEDs and lights and stuff. That's what grabbed my attention the first time I came. And so you can think like, oh, this must be the thing. Well, no, it's not the thing. It's important. It's super important. Paul said to a Jew, be a Jew, to a Greek, be a Greek. That means to a 21st century American, be a 21st century American. That probably means don't try to capture attention with pipe organ music and overhead transparencies. So we have stuff to make it more engaging. But the stuff isn't the focus. The stuff is never the focus. The focus is the under the surface inner work. Crossroads has always been powered by people who are pursuing inner world transformation through Christ. Always has been, always will be. That's our church. When I first came, I saw Brian from stage, and it was the outer stuff that grabbed my attention about him, the way he dressed, the way he talked, you know, just a normal guy. I was like, that guy seems pretty cool. I'd love to have a beer with him. That's kind of what I thought. But when I joined our staff team, and I've gotten to know him as a mentor and a friend over the last 20 years, I'll tell you, the most remarkable thing about him is not the outer stuff. In fact, he doesn't pay a ton of attention to it. He is an inner world focused person, which is why he's been faithful, and by the way, why he's ready. He is ready for what's come his way. If you were here last week, you heard him talk about the adventure that him and his wife Libby are on called Cancer. If you weren't here, go back, watch that message. Also, if you're part of our email distribution list, we sent everybody an email clip of it. Check your spam folder if you didn't get it. Highly encourage you to go watch that. But him and Libby are ready. And they're ready because of years and years and years of paying attention to their inner world. So you cannot manufacture, you cannot microwave overnight inner strength. Doesn't happen. Only way to get there is years and years and years of spending time with God. Sorry if that's discouraging. That's the truth. Now you might be like, oh, this is kind of discouraging, Kyle. I mean, I don't know if I want to do that. And you're saying, I got to do all this work? I gotta build myself up? No. Let me tell you the good news of the gospel. You can't build yourself up. You can't do the inner work. Great news, though. God says he'll do it for you. This is not a self-help message. This is a gospel message. Psalm 51:6 says, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. And you, God, you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. God says, if you'll just spend time with me, if you'll just open up your inner world to me every day, I'll do the work. You show up, God provides the meal. That's how it works. And that's literally how he talks about it, by the way. You ever notice there's tons of stuff about bread in the Bible? All over the place. And in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, we sang a song about that earlier, Father, let your kingdom come, Father, that song. In the middle of the Lord's Prayer, which is where Jesus describes this is how you should pray, he has this line about bread. Matthew 6:9, three verses after the one we started with. Jesus says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And we all, maybe you've heard this before, maybe you grew up in Catholic church, Protestant church, whatever, you heard some version of this and we all just kind of pray it and don't even think about it. It's weird, you guys. Think about it, in the middle of this cosmic prayer, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, cosmic big stuff. Also, could we have some bagels today? Maybe some everything bagels on one side and some plain bagels for the weirdos who don't like stuff on their bagels. And maybe I don't want to stretch you, God. Some blueberry would be great too. Weird. Pray for bread. Especially weird if you know what the Bible says about bread and the rest of it. Quick overview. The first time God ever talks about bread is in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. This is right after humanity has completely ignored his word, rejected his word, and instead chosen that they're going to live their life. They're going to be an outward focus, upper person, not the inner work with God. And this is God's response. Genesis 3, cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. God goes, I'm going to give you something to remind you you're going to die. It's called bread. Bread, dead. Get it? Bread, dead. It's literally, it's not the bread of life, it's the bread of death. A symbol that you can't survive on your own apart from the word of God. You can't. The next time bread shows up is in the Exodus. The people of Israel are in Egypt and they're slaves, and Moses comes and under God's direction, he walks them out of slavery. They get to the desert and they immediately start complaining, just like your kids on a road trip. I'm hungry. Can we stop? I'm so tired. And so God's like, okay, listen, I'm going to give you food. Okay, just bread every day. Now he doesn't send a giant dump truck full of unending food like one time, here you go, leave me alone, just eat this forever, it's gonna last you for years. Doesn't say that. Instead, he says, I'm gonna send you miracle bread, it's called manna. It's gonna show up every morning, but if you try to save it for tomorrow, it's going to spoil. And so you're gonna have to wake up the next day and also go look for bread. And then the next day, also go look for bread. And the next day, also go look for bread. Now, if you've heard this story taught, you might have heard it taught in the context of God's amazing, miraculous provision. Yes, there's probably a lesson there in that. That's totally legitimate. But it's not what the Bible says the point of the story actually is. Deuteronomy 8:3 describes it this way. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He goes, the whole point of the bread was not my provision. It's that if you look for your life in the outer, above the surface stuff, you're only going to find death. It's a symbol of you're going to die. Everybody who ate the bread, by the way, all but two guys, Joshua and Caleb, they all die. All die. So did Jesus know this story when he said, pray for bagels? Yeah, he totally did. That's Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 4, two chapters earlier, is the temptations of Jesus. He had fasted for 40 days. He's in the desert and he's starving. And one of the temptations of Satan was, he goes, hey, turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus' response is, no, man doesn't live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quotes it to him. And so why in the world, in the middle of the thing that is Jesus' like magnum opus on prayer, pray this way, would he say, ask for bread every day? Well, the answer comes right after one of the other major stories about bread. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is doing an outdoor service. It's awesome. He's preaching. People show up. Everybody forgets lunch, except for one kid. Like literally, no one brings food. And so Jesus takes his kid's lunch, his fish and bread. He takes the bread. He multiplies it. And everybody has bread to eat, and they love it. So much bread, there's extra. Jesus finishes the sermon, says amen, and then just starts walking across the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he's walking, and he looks over his shoulder, and all the people are following him, all of them. And they're not following him because they want more of the word of God. They're following him because they want more bread. And Jesus knows this. So he turns around, looks over his shoulder, and says this, John chapter 6, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. He says, I'll give it to you. Now the people, they just wanted bread. And so they're like, okay, not what we wanted to have happen. Let's put our heads together real quick. Quick circle up over here. Jesus will be right back. They go over here. And they're like, okay, we need to get bread. How can we convince him to still give us bread? Got it. And then you have an idea. This is what they say back. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you? Because Jesus, we would love to believe you. Obviously, we're here, but we're going to need something. What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So the Bible says it, Jesus. You should probably make us more bagels. And unfortunately, the Bible was written before emojis, which I found frustrating. But if there were emojis, this is the single text Jesus would have sent back right here. It's like, okay, let me try to break this down for you. Here's his actual words. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the bread. Taps himself right. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that, which your ancestors ate, and they died. Bread dead, guys. Do you not get it? Bread dead. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. What you might not know about Jesus is that he's the connection point between all the major themes and ideas in the entire Bible. So John 6, here he says, I'm the bread of life. John 1 says he's the word of God. And so the bread of life is, ta-da, the word of God. And so maybe, just maybe, when Jesus says, pray for bread every day, he doesn't just mean a new donut. That would be awesome. I think he means pray for the word of God, because you don't live by bread alone. You live by ingesting the word of God. Because see, the word of God has the power to do something that nothing else can. If you'll take it into your inner world, it can transform you. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, your inner world. The word of God is not a sword to cut you down. It's not a sword to put you down. It's a sword to do surgery on you. It's a scalpel so sharp that it can go to the deepest places of you, that it can cut apart the place that you're stuck and produce freedom in you. This is the word of God. My question is, do you want to be ready? Because if you want to be ready for what comes your way, the only way to do it is to develop a habit of spending time with the Word of God every single day, spending a habit of developing your inner world through engaging God in it. Every day, I pray the Lord's Prayer every morning, helps keep me focused, and I get to the part about daily bread. I do ask God to provide my needs. God, you provide for me. Yes, please, actual bread would be awesome. And though, over and above that, God, I need your word today because I don't know what moment's going to come my way. I don't know when I'm going to be called to step up. I don't know whether it's going to be an amazing possibility or whether it's going to be a tragic, painful thing. But I know without your word, I will have a void inside and I will collapse. And I don't want to collapse. I want to go and I want to accomplish everything that God has for me. Listen, if you want to know what to expect at Crossroads over the next year, you can expect an outward push to reach our friends and neighbors who don't yet know God, driven by people with an inner push to have their inner worlds transformed by Christ. That's where we're going. Now, most importantly at the end, this is not a place we fake it. We are not a fake it community. We're not to pretend like you have it all together. We're not to come in and wave hello and, oh, things are going so good. And go. That's not what we are. And so as we get here, I want you to put that hat on. Do not fake it right now, but I want you to have a conversation just with yourself and God over these next few minutes. We're going to do an experience called communion in just a minute. You can continue through that, but I wanted to start right now. Where are you with your inner world? Have you been an outer world focused person? Or are you an inner world focused person? And what would it look like to become more of an inner world focused person? You might find yourself in one of three places as you consider that question. Maybe you're a person with so many plates in the air, so many balls to juggle, so many pressures and priorities that your honest response is sitting through this message is like, great, another thing to do. Thank you, Kyle. If that's you, let me just tell you the words of Jesus from Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. This is not about performing for God. This is not about adding another thing on your plate. This is about allowing him to give you, to reward you with the inner strength that you're looking for. Maybe you find yourself in a different place. Maybe you're somebody who already collapsed. You're like, that sinkhole thing, that was great. It would have been better if it was 6 months ago when I heard that, because I've already collapsed and it's just too late for me. Good news for you, if that's where you're at, it's never too late. We don't serve a God who says, man, if I'd only known earlier. We serve a God who brings the dead back to life. And so whatever's broken, whatever seems too far, it's not. Start now on the inner world. Tell God, I'm sorry for the outer focus. I wish the collapse hadn't happened. Will you rebuild me stronger than I could possibly imagine? Or maybe you find yourself in a third spot where you already have good rhythms of engaging with God. My question for you is, have you decided it's good enough? It's a dangerous place to get to. Again, not about performing for God, not about trying to dance more, but have you decided you have enough of him? Or is there more for you to press into? What would doubling down on God's word, the inner work, look like in your life? That's the question I want you to consider. As we close, we're gonna do an exercise called communion right now. You can take out this little cup that you got when you walked in case you were curious what it was for. It's not just a snack in case you got hungry. If you already ate it, that's okay. This is to help us do something called communion or the Lord's Supper, also called the Eucharist in some faith traditions. And it has to do with the last meal Jesus ever had with his disciples, where he took bread, he took wine, he broke the bread, he passed around the cup of wine. He said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And he commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. Not by coincidence. This is an experience of taking Jesus, the bread of life, and allowing him to get into the deepest parts of us, the word of God. So you can go ahead and peel off the bottom of your container there, expose that little piece of bread. And by the way, this is really for folks who've decided that Jesus is who he said he is. If that's not you, I'm so glad that you're with us. Honored that you're here. Again, we're not a fake it place, so please don't fake it. It's okay, this is not for you. You can just keep that in your pocket. Or maybe you're somebody who's never taken communion. But maybe you want today to be your first ever communion, the first time you say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. If that's you, welcome to communion. There's no performance, there's nothing else you gotta do. If you say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, then congratulations, pull up a seat to the table with the rest of us. But for those of us who do follow Jesus, this is for us. And I'll just remind you that the bread he gives you is broken bread. Not just his word every day, but grace. That's what broken bread is, every single day. So if you need his grace right now, I want you to just take this in. The night he was betrayed, Jesus took the loaf of bread on the table and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. Friends, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Let's eat it together in remembrance of him. You can peel back the top layer of that cup. Exposed a tiny container of juice. Same night, cup of wine on the table. Jesus takes the cup of wine, he held it up and he said, this is my blood shed for you. Friends, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's drink it in remembrance of him. We pray for you. God, thank you for being a God who doesn't leave us where we are, who doesn't say, good luck, who doesn't say, I gave you a word years ago, good enough, but who every day offers to show up and to feed us the thing that can transform us and help us be ready for whatever's coming our way. God, I'm asking for everybody here, everybody watching online, you know the moment coming. Would you give us the vision and the tenacity to work on the inner world, to allow your word to come in and change us, God. I know you're faithful, and I know you will do it. Thank you for your word. Amen.